Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider.
Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
But it is wonderful to be back in this great state and to push all of the historic tax cuts. You know, this was about the first place I announced that we were going to be asking for massive tax cuts, and everybody said it'll never happen. Hasn't happened since Ronald Reagan to any scale. And it didn't even come close since then. And we got it not only passed, but bigger than anything ever passed in the history of our country. And we're now going for a phase two. We're actually going for a phase two, which will help, in addition to the middle class, will help companies. And it's going to be something, I think, very special. Kevin Brady's working on it with me. Congress is working. The Senate's working. And unfortunately, on the original, we didn't have one Democrat vote, which is pretty incredible. And now they're regretting it. But we're going to do a phase two, and it's going to be something, I think, that will really be a big incentive to do a lot of things just like we're doing right here, and a tremendous incentive for the workers.
All right, that's the president talking about phase two of the tax cuts, which, by the way, is only going to help further create more jobs and prosperity in America. And we're already seeing a huge impact in a lot of different ways. Anyway, Governor Mike Huckabee is with us, former presidential candidate, former Arkansas governor. How are you, sir? Welcome back to the program. Always great to have you.
Well, thank you, Sean. Always a pleasure to be visiting. And I appreciate the fact that you have relentlessly tried to bring some perspective and truth to this whole idea of Russian collusion, which so far not a shred of evidence exists that the Trump Organization or Donald Trump personally had a thing to do with it.
You know, that to me is the most unbelievable thing. And after 14 months, it was so funny. Meghan McCain, God bless her, was on The View and had, you know, shiftless Adam Schiff on with her. This guy's had over 275 TV appearances. And all he has done is laid out lies and innuendo. And then when confronted, okay, you've had 14 months, give us the evidence. He said, well, it's already out there in the public arena. Here, let me play it for you.
You said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia. What specifically were you referring to? And please be specific, because if it's true, I do believe Americans have the right to know a year later what that is.
Well, I've certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion. I've never used the word treason. Only Steve Bannon has used that word. If you look at the facts that are already in the public domain, they're pretty damning.
Is it enough for Mueller to bring charges? Because if it isn't enough for Mueller to bring charges, what does that mean?
Well, what it means... This is a very important question, and that is, what's Mueller's job and what's our job? Mm-hmm. Bob Mueller will make the decision whether there is proof beyond a reasonable doubt to indict and convict people. It is not his responsibility to tell the country what happened.
Yeah, it actually would be his mandate and responsibility. So what he's basically saying, so there won't be any evidence that we can indict anybody on any collusion, but we're going to insinuate it happened anyway. And we've discovered that the only real collusion happened with Hillary's campaign. paying for Russian lies and propaganda so she could fix a general election after we know she fixed a primary election, Governor?
It's interesting. Every time I hear Adam Schiff at the end of whether it's the congressional investigation or whatever report has come out, he always says, but, you know, there's still more that we are having to look for. I'm convinced Adam Schiff is the guy still looking for Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and, you know, the unicorn.
I think you're probably
right. He's going to be looking, but he never finds it, because if it could be found, I'm pretty sure that Adam Schill, I'll call him a shill for the left, he would have found it by now.
Yeah.
There's just no evidence, and nobody has been able to come forward and say, you know, we've got some smoke here. There's got to be fire. There's not even the smoke yet. So, Sean, I want it to be a clean country where our politicians do the right things. But we can't afford to have a country where our process of the government is upended by people who won't let their political bitterness go and allow a duly elected public official to do the job to which he was entrusted. And that's what we're seeing.
It's been an attempt to undermine President Trump from the get-go. And we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. And it's ongoing, and it's almost universal. It's almost everybody in the news media. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something, Governor. I spend a lot of time now doing more reporting than I've ever done in my career. And we have a great team we've assembled, you know, Sarah Carter and John Solomon and Greg Jarrett and Tom Fitton. And Jay Sekulow has been amazing, too. And there are others I'm going to forget some. Dr. Gork has been great. And I would argue that we break more news on this radio program and more news on my television program. And we have real evidence of what happened, who paid for the phony Russian dossier. We've broken more stories about a FISA warrant that was issued in spite of many denials. We have broken the fact that there was an exoneration of Hillary after she committed many felonies before they even did an investigation. And the rest of the media, I mean, almost everybody exclusively in journalism, totally ignores it.
Well, when 91% of all the coverage of President Trump is negative, there's no objective person alive who could possibly say that that is a representative reporting of what is actually happening in his presidency. I get it that people don't like Trump. I get it that some people think he's vulgar or he's crude or his past is somehow relevant to what he's doing as president. I get all of that. But it comes down to this. The media says Donald Trump has attacked the media. No, the media has attacked their own credibility by proving that they're not objective about this administration. They do not want to report and let people decide. They want to steer people to a particular point of view. That's not journalism. That's editorialism.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost the idea of journalism.
What do you make of what's going on with Vladimir Putin and Great Britain and Russia vowing revenge and the Prime Minister May kicking out 23 Russian spies from the UK and blasting Vladimir Putin's contempt for the Salisbury poisoning? I mean, we have all of that. Nikki Haley yesterday warning that Russia could use chemical weapons in New York, which is pretty scary. There was a report that has come out that the U.S. military over a decade behind China and Russia as it relates to space defense. I'm getting really concerned that America is taking its eye off the ball here.
I think the equal point, though, is that Vladimir Putin is isolating himself from the civilized world. Actions like this one that happened in the UK, the fact that the world is standing up to him, not just Theresa May, but today the Trump administration put out new sanctions. So if he's colluding with Russia, why is he punishing them so abruptly and so harshly? I do know one thing. If I ever do go to Moscow, I'm not having dinner with Vladimir Putin. And if I do, I'm taking a food taster, somebody I don't like who's going to eat it first. And then I'll decide whether to put my fork in the food.
I mean, it's pretty scary. But the president today did something that, well, people on the left said he wasn't going to do. And that is that he's gone directly after Russia as it relates to what they have been engaged in. And that means sanctions against trying to influence our elections and sow discord in the country. And it's amazing because he's the one that's doing it. And yet he's the one's been accused of colluding. And it was Barack Obama that was lecturing him. You remember when Obama said this before the election and was lecturing Donald Trump to telling him to stop whining and no serious person would ever believe they could impact our elections?
There is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections, in part because they're so decentralized and the numbers of votes involved. There's no evidence that that has happened in the past or that there are instances in which that will happen this time. And so I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
Well, I remember it very vividly. I also remember Obama leaning over, thinking he was off mic, and patting the knee of the Soviet president between the two Putin terms and saying to them, after the election, I'll have a lot more flexibility. And he never told us, what was that flexibility? What is it he was going to do that was so doggone flexible? And did he in fact do it? Is that why we have the Russian interference in our election? Because he just looked the other way. We know that the biggest thing that the Obama administration did was when Obama said, these guys need to cut it out. Now, that was a real, real threat. I mean, the only thing that would make that tougher would be that if he'd sent a letter, a strongly worded letter, that would have scared him, I'm sure.
Yeah. Are you as concerned about Mueller and the team that Mueller has put together as I am? I mean, the latest information leaked today is, oh, Mueller has subpoenaed the Trump Organization demanding documents about Russia. You know, none of this is connected in any way to the campaign. And I'm just trying to understand where this guy is going and why this guy would hire only people that donated to Hillary, Obama, the DNC. You know, why would he make as the New York Times calls him, Mueller's pit bull, a guy like Andrew Weissman, who cost tens of thousands of Americans their jobs at Anderson Accounting. He was overturned by the Supreme Court 9-0. He put Merrill executives in jail for a year. That was overturned by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. He's best friends with Mueller. But with that track record, why would Bob Mueller hire Andrew Weissman ever?
It's hard to say. And I think as troubling as it is with the team that he's assembled, it's that there seems to be a singular focus on anything that Donald Trump may have done and a complete, and we don't know, maybe he is looking at what Hillary did and the fact that all those emails showed up on Anthony Weiner's laptop or that she had a private server or that she deleted 33,000 emails, things for which other people, including a young sailor, went to prison. Maybe he's looking at that. But if he is, it's been the best kept secret in Washington. And Sean, there are no secrets in Washington.
Well, I just at some point, Governor, what, 14 months and no evidence that's been presented, and they're looking at everybody's financial deals going back to 2005 in the case of Paul Manafort. I have no idea what his business dealings were with the Ukraine, but he literally worked for Trump for 3 months. And I got to be honest, I can't for the life of me figure out how we had the unmasking of General Flynn illegal and then the illegal leaking of raw intelligence on General Flynn. That seems to have set up a perjury trap for him. And he has to plead guilty to lying or maybe misremembered. I don't know. My recollection isn't. I couldn't even tell you who's on my show yesterday. And I'm just trying to think. I mean, this is how this country treats you after 35 years of service. I'm like, wow.
The Flynn tragedy to me is one of the great ones because he has been an honorable public servant, put his life on the line for this country on numerous occasions, had a very honorable career in the military. And it's the classic example where people say if a federal prosecutor really wants to, they could indict a ham sandwich. And what they're saying by that is that there's always some technicality upon which a federal prosecutor can find a way to come after you. With Martha Stewart, for example, it was that she didn't have complete memory and recall in what she'd said to the FBI. So they got her on a similar thing of lying to the FBI. It wasn't insider trading, which was what they went after. It was something totally unrelated. I think that's what ought to scare every American. If our own government decides to target us and they come after us and they have unlimited resources with which to attack us, And the net result is they ruin our lives, put us in prison, destroy our families, cost us our homes and our reputations. What kind of government do we have that would do that to us?
You know, it's funny you say that. I have friends in the FBI. I love these guys. I don't know if you know my background. My mother was, she worked in a prison. She was a prison guard. My father worked in family court probation. All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with Governor Mike Huckabee and much more straight ahead on the Sean Hannity Show. Governor Mike Huckabee is with us, former presidential candidate, former Arkansas governor. I will tell you, I just have great respect for law enforcement, not the top echelon that I think has abused power, especially FISA abuses. But, you know, I asked him one day after the Martha Stewart case, we had a long discussion. I said, so let me understand this. If you don't perfectly remember something, and your inclination is to always want to help the FBI, you're saying that no matter what the circumstances, that you should never talk to the FBI. And he goes, absolutely not. And I'm like, I said, that goes against every inclination as an American that loves the FBI that I would ever have. And he said, absolutely not. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells us that our government has an extraordinary level of power, and that when they want to weaponize that power and use it for political purposes, the best thing for us to do is to stay out of the way. Never help load a gun pointed at your own head. And that's why I think the advice that FBI agent gave you was good advice. It's the classic thing of reading the Miranda rights. Everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. That's why lawyers always tell us, shut up, quit talking.
Yeah, so true. And as we continue our discussion of the firing of McCabe, Sarah Carter, David Schoen are with us. So the president goes out this weekend and the president says, yeah, this guy was corrupt. He talked about Comey. Yeah, Comey's corrupt. I put out a series of questions. I don't know if either one of you saw them on Twitter for James Comey, and an invitation for James Comey to join us for 3 hours on this radio program and 1 hour on Hannity on the Fox News channel. I know he's going over to the Clintons' BFF, George Stephanopoulos, and Trump hater Stephen Colbert, and The View, where they hate all things Trump. I'd like to see James Comey answer some important questions. Sarah Carter.
James Comey needs to answer those questions, Sean, and he will have to answer those questions. And I think David was right when he pointed out the fact that even in McCabe's own statement, the one that he made directly, I mean, it was within minutes, McCabe already knew this was coming. He lied to the FBI. That's an offense, a fireable offense. He could also be charged, and what I'm hearing from my sources, he will be charged, for lying and possibly for other issues. Obstruction is one of them. And now he's coming out swinging, and he kind of wrapped Comey up into his big mess because one of them, either both are lying or one of them's lying, because Comey testified that he never authorized leaks. So he needs to address that directly. And I think another thing important here is that we have to take into consideration that when you think about Trump's tweets, I mean, of course, this was the first time he ever mentioned Robert Mueller directly and this investigation. I mean, it feels like, and he says he's on a witch, they're on a witch hunt. They're coming after him. But he has a right to defend himself, too. And he has a right to defend himself. And I think what's even more interesting is the fact that you have all of these congressional members who came out and said, well, it'll be the end of his presidency if he fires Mueller, if he comes after Mueller. But some of those same Republicans who came out and said that, they also asked for a second special counsel to investigate the investigator. So they're basically saying, yeah, keep the Mueller investigation going, and now let's get a second special counsel to investigate the investigators, but we don't want anything to happen to Mueller because we suspect that Mueller's investigation is going to uphold the laws here and the balance of justice. Well, for a lot of people, that isn't the case.
No.
He's looking for a crime, and especially to the president and to others that are concerned about this, they're afraid that Mueller is in search of a crime. In search of a crime, and he's going to try to find one.
And Mueller was given a broad sweeping mandate by Rod Rosenstein, who we believe argued for and used as a justification for in the subsequent renewal applications for FISA. Didn't Rod Rosenstein sign off on the second one? We have to go to a break here. We'll continue straight ahead. Join us. We continue with Sarah Carter, investigative reporter, David Schoen, civil rights and criminal defense attorney. So this weekend, James Sanctimonious Comey goes out there
he's got this book that's coming out in the middle of April. And I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I see a guy that has a lot of potential legal and criminal issues standing before him. I don't know a single lawyer that would advise him to not only do the book, but go on a book tour. Although he's doing really easy interviews. He's going on with Clinton sycophant, Georgie Stephanopoulos. And then he's going on late night with Stephen Colbert. And then he's going on with the ladies of The View. And I have no doubt that Meghan McCain will get one question and one question only. So he writes this weekend on Twitter, as he often does in his highfalutin, holier-than-thou, sanctimonious way, "Mr. President, the American people will hear my story very soon. They can judge for themselves who is honorable and who is not." So I sent out a series of tweets. "Mr. Comey, what did you know about McCabe, his leaking, and his conduct, considering he was his boss?" And then I said, "Was the unverified salacious dossier," and I used those specific words because Comey used them to Trump in January of 2017, and we know that that salacious and unverified document was used as the bulk of the FISA application 3 months earlier in October of 2016. "Why didn't the FBI verify and corroborate the dossier? Did you know the dossier used Russian sources?" And then I asked, "Mr. Comey, did you know that Hillary Rodham Clinton paid for the lies, the Russian lies in the dossier? Did you or anyone at the FBI pay Christopher Steele? Did you ask Steele about his Russian sources that he used in the dossier? Did the FBI make any attempt to interview the Russian sources?" And then I said, "Did you ask the Fusion GPS owners if they corroborated the Russian dossier? And why did Hillary's campaign and the DNC funnel Fusion GPS's payments and Steele's payments through this law firm, Perkins Coie? And what did you know about the efforts to pass on the unverified salacious dossier to American media companies?" In other words, lies, propaganda to manipulate an election and working hand in hand with the corrupt media. And then I said, "Mr. Comey, why were you writing Hillary's exoneration in May of 2016, long before she was interviewed in July of 2016? I said, 18 U.S.C. 793, it's illegal to mishandle classified top secret special access program information. Why was such information mishandled by Hillary Rodham Clinton?" And then I wrote, "Did Hillary mishandle such information by putting information on a server in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet? And how many foreign intelligence agencies do you believe hacked Hillary Rodham Clinton's server? What countries? Did Russia? Did China? Did Iran? Did North Korea hack into Hillary's server?" And then I asked Comey, "Is it a crime to delete emails that have been subpoenaed? And when Hillary deleted 33,000 subpoenaed emails, is that obstruction of justice? And what about Hillary acid washing her hard drive with bleach bit?" And then I finally say this: "Mr. Comey, I know you're scheduled to be on Good Morning America with Clinton BFF George Stephanopoulos. I know you're scheduled to be on the Colbert Late Show and The View. Would you accept my invitation? Am I missing a lot of questions here, David Schoen?"
"No, but I think you just ruined your invitation by asking them. He wouldn't dare come on there. Look, you've given a great head start to what will hopefully be the special counsel. You know that he wouldn't dare answer those questions in your forum, in any forum, but certainly not when you're going to be relentless with any dodging for any answers. He should, as a matter of business, go on your show. His agent should book it because he'll sell more books, but I don't think he'll dare come on there. I hope he will. But I don't think you're missing. I don't think you're missing any questions. You might add on there about the circumstance of giving memos to a law professor friend that were apparently for Congress instead. But I guess that's, you know, one of many subjects. Look, we're seeing with Mr. Comey, unfortunately, this part of this culture that public servants try to capitalize on their ego and on opportunities. So this book tour is going to bring in millions. He may rue the day that he decided to have it, as some have suggested already, including you. Maybe you're at the forefront, because he's going to have to answer some of these questions. And now he's going to have to answer the McCabe controversy. McCabe has certainly accused him. McCabe's statement is certainly at odds with him, cannot be reconciled with what Mr. Comey has said.
If you were his lawyer, would you allow him to write a book under any circumstances? Would you represent him?
No, absolutely no. Would I represent him? No. If he made that bad decision, then maybe. But no, I certainly would not advise him to, and certainly not at this stage in things. He has no idea what's still going to surface. I want to touch on one other subject that you raised earlier, and Sarah made a very important point about, and it relates to Comey also, but really to Mueller mostly. I was surprised, maybe shocked even, to see respectable members of Congress, our representatives, representatives of the people, taking the position that to criticize the Mueller investigation or even to suggest that it should be stopped is acting guilty, or that one should act like the president should act like he's not guilty. The lawyer should treat his client as if he's not guilty and not stop criticizing the investigation. That's an un-American position to take. The challenging of the integrity of an investigation is an absolutely fundamental avenue the Supreme Court has recognized for any sort of prosecution. As Sarah said far more eloquently than I before, it's a very dangerous situation when we have allegations that someone is operating on an agenda. And you've said this, Mr. Hannity, when an investigation is arguably politically motivated with a foregone conclusion as an agenda, then everyone should speak up and protest the investigation, guilty or not guilty. So that's one aspect of it. But the other part of this is, how short is our institutional memory? It's just from between 2011 and 2017, one after another source commented on various scandals or malfeasance that Mr. Mueller had been involved with, certainly Mr. Comey also. In fact, a former FBI agent, legal counsel of the FBI, wrote a piece about various scandals that both Mueller and Comey were involved with that she personally witnessed, including lying and cover-ups and that sort of thing. But all of a sudden, Mr. Mueller is above the law. He's a hero. It's not appropriate. Again, I welcome anyone to read any of these sources, even such questionable sources that we find in the mainstream media that always are glad-handing Mr. Mueller these days. But, you know, the New York Times has raised questions about him in the past, the New York Post, the Boston Globe, for very specific reasons. And people should do their homework.
We're going to do a deep dive into who Robert Mueller is this week. So stay tuned on that. Let me go back to Sarah for a minute. So everybody got all worked up this weekend when Donald Trump mentioned that the Mueller probe should never have been started in the first place. There was no collusion, was no crime. Now, you know, some people are saying, well, if you're innocent, you would never say you're innocent. And I think it's just the opposite. I think if I'm innocent, I'm going to scream it from the mountaintops. And it's amazing how the media somehow interpreted the president's belief that it never should have been started, and that a lot of it's based on fraudulent activities, a fake dossier bought and paid for by Hillary and the DNC, and lying to a FISA court. And I agree with the president. We have evidence of real crimes, and 14 months and later, and we have no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion at all, not even in the case of anybody that Mueller has indicted.
It feels like we're living in an altered universe. I mean, where you're seeing all of this evidence spill out against all of these players to the point where, I mean, they're being fired, they're being let go, and it's not just the president firing. It is the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. We have an inspector general who was appointed by Obama, Michael Horowitz, who's very well respected on both sides of the aisle by both Republicans and Democrats, and even McCabe himself welcomed Michael Horowitz conducting this investigation, even into McCabe, even into himself. He was fine with it. And here, you know, Horowitz finds all of this evidence, turns it over to OPR. He talks with Christopher Wray, the FBI director, who was at that point in time basically backing, you know, his colleague there at the FBI, McCabe. And then finally Wray said, I got to let you go. You can't come in. And even when he went in that Monday, the day that he was fired, you know, Sean, I know this from multiple sources, all of his boxes were packed. He was out of there. He wasn't allowed in the office anymore. I mean, everything was packed up for him. He was gone. What do you think Christopher Wray discovered that day? What do you think OPR, which is, by the way, has many of his friends work in OPR?
But if you listen to the phony news media in this country, they made it sound all weekend like Donald Trump did this.
Donald Trump had every right to defend himself. And he obviously, when you come out publicly and you're saying, look, there is no collusion here. And for 14 months, we've been waiting for Brennan or Clapper, all these people that keep coming out on Twitter, former Obama officials, senior officials, people that were McCabe, the FBI, anybody, give us evidence. If you have it, give it. Put it out there in the public. And they've never been able to do that because there is no evidence of collusion.
What about these articles this weekend? FBI agents saying that Comey stood in the way of the Clinton email investigation. McCabe making life tougher for Comey, you know, as he actually said this weekend. And he went out there and said, oh, by the way, I did all of this leaking with the approval of the director. So now he has to answer that question.
And then I would add to that and go back to the comment that was made by James Kallstrom, which I thought was devastating, that high-ranking people throughout the government had a plot to protect Hillary from being indicted. Now, that would be James Comey. That would be Peter Strzok. That would be Andrew McCabe. That would be Lisa Page and probably Loretta Lynch. And the reason is they're going to overlook her obvious felonies, a multitude of crimes, give a fixed and rigged investigation to keep her in the race and keep Donald Trump from being president of the United States. And then, oh boy, in the process, we've got an insurance policy because we lied to a FISA court with Hillary bought and paid for Russian lies. And then we use those lies to get a FISA application to spy on an associate, which leads us into the emails of the entire Trump system. So I cannot believe for a second here that what Kallstrom is saying is overstated in any way. I think Kallstrom nailed it. That there are deep state actors that thought they knew better than the American people.
He did nail it. He did nail it. And he, you know, the more you see the evidence on its face, this isn't just speculation. That you were hearing it from their own words, from the text messages, from the emails, from the evidence in the documents, which they changed. Comey himself and other people at the FBI made significant changes in the reasons and the decision to exonerate Hillary Clinton. So I think Kallstrom, who's a brilliant man, nailed it right on the head. And he knows exactly what he's talking about. And this is the reason why a second special counsel is so necessary.
Are we going to get that? Are we getting a second special counsel? Because I don't see, you cannot have all of these top people doing what they're doing, all best friends, all suspect in terms of what their political motivations are, now investigating themselves, because it's never going to come out right.
No, it'll never come out right. And this is the reason why we need a second special counsel. And I do believe a second special counsel will be appointed. Remember, this is coming also from Chairman Grassley, who's the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee and has quite
and
a
Graham,
bit of pull.
And Tillis and Cornyn, and now pretty much everybody's beginning to see that there's no other way out of this to investigate the investigators. And as we continue, David Schoen and Sarah Carter wrapping up this hour, our deep dive. Andrew McCabe is fired. Now we see that the House Intel Committee soon will be talking to the lovebirds, Strzok and Page. David Schoen, I've got to imagine there's going to be more firings. And to quote PJ Media and Roger Simon, the reckoning of the FBI and the deep state has begun.
I suppose that's right, and I don't mean this to just glad hand, but you have to take a good bit of the credit for it, quite frankly. I was thinking a minute ago, if you were to do a retrospective one day, when this all plays out, on how much of this you and then through Sarah's investigative reporting really brought to light that would never have been brought to light otherwise, frankly, because I think you care a great deal about the Constitution and about the institutions, I think we'll be amazed to see how many of these issues you really brought to the fore. But,
you know, can I tell you one thing on that point? So some dope over at CNN this weekend, somebody quoted it to me and sent me an article, you know, literally says, well, Hannity won now. He's the winner here because Andrew McCabe was. Nobody wins.
That's it.
Nobody wins when you have high ranking government officials in a particular agency that I love and law enforcement that I love involved in this type of behavior. But with that said, it will destroy the country if it's not revealed, if they continue these antics and tactics and scheming and plotting and planning.
That's 100% right. And quite frankly, I've never heard you gloat about the winning because you don't. That's why I felt it necessary to at least give a bit of credit here. But in any event, I think getting back to what you said, you know, Sarah raised a very important point. And this is one of the many reasons why a special counsel is the only viable option, as much as everyone dreads that because we see these things never ending and going down every rabbit trail. But that is something, again, that's missed the radar. Sarah just mentioned it, is that the OPR action is all the more remarkable because he does, Mr. McCabe, does have friends there. That's what's changing, maybe through your show, maybe through other hot points now. I don't know what's causing it. Something's changing. You know, my father was an FBI agent, so I have a great deal of admiration for the FBI.
Same here.
They're heroes to me. But they've never really been held accountable from above before. And part of that's because of this old boy network.
They never thought Trump would win, and they never thought this would come out. That's the problem. 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free numbers. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, David.